think we're ready to start, Shelley. Good morning. It's 10 o'clock a.m. It's May 31st. The commission is meeting today in the State Capitol Building, 12th floor, in our hearing room. I'm announcing that Commissioner Kevin Cramer is with us by phone today, and we'll ask him to give some greetings. And first I'll go to Commissioner Clark. Do you have any welcoming comments?
Just welcome.
Good morning and welcome. I move passage of the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. In my agenda, there are two items. The first one is case number PU06415. I move the commission adopt the order approving tariff revisions filed by Montana Dakota Utilities Company to its fuel clause rate 56, case number PU06415.
Second.
Now, we see the result of adopting this order as more stable prices for electricity with a negligible, if any, financial impact on customer bills. So that's what I'd like to talk about right at the beginning. At the present time, we have a fuel clause adjustment that MDU uses. And as you can imagine, sometimes when those costs are passed through to customers, the revenues don't entirely meet the costs that are passed through to customers. And so what happens is using the present tariff, when there's a fuel cost adjustment billings that differ from the expenses, they are rolled into the next billing period after a two-month accounting lag. That's how it happens at the present time. However, when we are making those same adjustments, let's say in a gas cost adjustment, we wait and we put all of those into one account, and then we make an adjustment once a year for those over or under recoveries. MDU is requesting in this tariff change that over under recoveries be booked in the same way as we do the gas adjustments once a year. They would be reset annually based on the account balance and expected sales volumes. Account balances in this new account would be subject to interest accruals at the most recent three-month federal treasury bill rate. When commission staff took a look at this proposal, because it is actually a change in our tariff, and they found that MDU's proposal approximately equivalent to the existing balancing process. Staff believes that MDU's proposal better recognizes the time value of money with interest on the deferred account while simplifying the fuel cost adjustment calculation and better matching seasonal cost recovery between summer cooling and winter heating loads. The staff cautioned that the deferred account balance should be monitored so that out-of-cycle billing surcharge adjustments can be made if deemed necessary to avoid large rate impacts to customers. That means if too much money starts to build up in this surcharge adjustment account, it's important that we be able to monitor that so that those either too much money or too little money in that account, we can make an adjustment midstream in the year and not wait and just do one adjustment once a year. So therefore, the commission orders today that MDU's proposed tariff revisions to its fuel clause rate 58 schedule are approved for service rendered on or after July 1st, 2007. MDU is granted a waiver from the existing fuel clause balancing procedure required under North Dakota Administrative Code subsection 6909.0239.3, and that MDU should file a report by August 1st, 2009. We're putting this into place for a two-year period. That includes MDU's best efforts to provide a two-year comparison with what the monthly fuel cost adjustments would have been using the present balancing methodology under subsection 6909.0239.3. So although we're not sunsetting this, we're going to take another close look at it in 2 years to be sure that it's meeting the best needs of the company and the customer in taking care of these costs.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. SW2. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, issuing a certificate of site compatibility to Langdon Wind, LLC, for its proposed 160-megawatt Langdon Wind Energy Center in Cavalier County, North Dakota, case number PU0726.
Second.
Now, there are two things that I thought were very important as we acted on this particular matter, the Langdon Wind Farm. One was to act in a timely manner, and I want to note that Langdon Wind filed the application with the commission on March the 21st, 2007, and we are approving this finding of fact and conclusions of law, this PCNN, on May 31st of 2007, which is just a little over 2 months time period. So we have, although we're allowed 6 months by law, we have acted on this in a little over 2 months, so we have done it in a very timely manner. But I also think it's important not only to act in a timely manner, but to act in a very thoughtful manner and act in a very thorough manner in accordance with state laws, commission rules, and guidelines on siting an energy facility. In order to make sure we did that, we held a public hearing on May the 7th in Langdon, and we had a very, we knew we had a very important job to do. We wanted to do it in both a timely manner and a thorough manner. I am very excited about wind development in this state and the energy that it makes available to North Dakota customers. However, we do know from some comments that we've received recently in the mail that there are people out in there are citizens of North Dakota who are very concerned that the commission and the state watch very carefully and take a very responsible approach to our the care of our natural resources in this state. And so I want to assure people that the commission has done that in this particular order by following our very good state laws, commission rules, and guidelines that we have in place. We are approving, I'm expecting that the commission will approve this order today. I haven't heard any disagreements from my fellow commissioners. In fact, I believe that they're also very excited about this. The construction of the Langdon Wind Energy Center is expected to take approximately 7 months at an approximate cost of $250 million, and they anticipate starting the project in June of this year. Some of the things that the commission took a look at in this particular order are as follows. We looked at that they shall conduct a pre-construction conference. These are portions of our ordering clause, that they shall conduct a pre-construction conference prior to the commencement of any construction with our staff to ensure that Langdon Wind fully understands the conditions set forth in this order, that they shall inform the commission of its intent to start construction on the energy conversion facility prior to the commencement of construction, and while the construction is underway, they shall keep the commission updated of construction activities on a weekly basis, that they shall construct the energy conversion facility in compliance with the National Electric Safety Code, that all pre-existing roads and lanes used during construction must be restored to a condition that will accommodate their previous use, that reclamation, fertilization, and reseeding is to be done by Langdon Wind according to the Natural Resource Conservation Service recommendations for CRP, unless otherwise specified by landowners and approved by the commission, that Langdon Wind shall repair and replace all fences and gates removed and damaged during construction and operation. These are just some. I'm not going to go through all 30 of them. I'm just mentioning some. Langdon Wind shall implement a procedure for how complaints concerning the proposed energy conversion facility will be handled by Langdon Wind. And they shall provide the commission with engineering design drawings showing surveyed structure and collection substations prior to construction, and then shall obtain approval from the commission or from commission staff prior to any changes in those surveyed locations. The certificate of site compatibility is subject to suspension or revocation and may, in an appropriate and proper case, be suspended or revoked for failure to comply with the commission's order or any of the conditions and criteria of the certificate. They shall maintain records which will demonstrate it has complied with the requirements of this order. And House Bill 1317, as passed by the North Dakota 2007 legislature provides that the commission has the power to establish rules for decommissioning of wind energy conversion facilities. Langdon Wind is required to comply with all applicable rules adopted by the commission pursuant to such legislation. I'm very pleased that we're going to have this new wind facility in the state of North Dakota, and I have enjoyed working with Florida Power and Light on this particular project, and I wish them the best of luck as they move forward.
Thank you. Because we've heard so much about wind lately in North Dakota, it can be a little bit easy, I think, to become passé about the size of some of these projects. But it makes sense to remember that this is a big project. I mean, this is a big project not just within North Dakota compared to other projects in North Dakota. This is a project that nationally will get some attention because it is of a big enough size and scope that it hits that national radar. Just this project alone, close to 160 megawatts, has the opportunity to just about double the amount of wind power output that North Dakota has. Right now we're somewhere installed at about 178 megawatts statewide, which is not insignificant given where we were just a few years ago. But this would, as I said, just about double that. You look at other projects that are going on in the state, potentially even this summer yet. For example, the one down by Ashley, which could add another 90 megawatts. I mean, you're talking about potentially by the end of this year having close to 400 or 500 megawatts of installed wind power in the state. That is the size of a baseload coal plant. This is very significant. It's important, and North Dakota has a great story to tell about our energy industry, and increasingly wind is becoming a very important chapter in that book. So it's exciting to be a part of this project. I've reviewed the record, and we'll be voting for the order. There's a summary sheet available, and hopefully we'll be able to look over that. The project itself will cover 47.5 square miles and consist of up to 106 wind turbines. The cost is approximately $250 million. So there's going to be an ongoing impact for those landowners who get payments. There's going to be an impact in that local area where property tax values will go up, and there'll be revenue to local government. It's a win-win, really, for everyone involved, and pleased to support the motion.
Well, I'll certainly be supporting the motion and voting for it as well. I must say that there, Susan's point about how quickly the commission was able to do this is an important point, I think, because she's exactly right. Not only was it done quickly, it was done very well and very thoroughly, and that cannot be done without the cooperation of a lot of entities. And I think one of the more interesting pieces of this collaboration is that on the one hand, you have America's largest wind generator producer in FPL, but you have some other important players as well, including Minn Kota, so one of our very own cooperative generators, and then you have Otter Tail Power, who's also involved purchasing some of the power and perhaps owning some of the generation. So there's a lot of collaboration at that level that I think is somewhat unique and very interesting and, frankly, quite encouraging. To see an independent power producer, a cooperative producer, and an investor-owned utility all working together on a project like this is impressive. In addition, I have to say and really congratulate the community of Langdon, and especially their development efforts there and their jobs development authority, who did a great job of both in enticing this project and preparing for it, and the entire community that has come out, for the most part, rallying behind it. But again, with complete and good discernment, I think, and thorough research and thoughtfulness. But then ultimately, I have to also just appreciate our staff, because clearly we can't do these things in 2 months without a really good, dedicated, and competent staff. So my appreciation and congratulations to everyone involved.
But I would certainly second that. I think Susan and Kevin make a great point about the timeliness. These wind farms are different than traditional baseload plants, which take years to construct, and the lead-up you have is significantly greater than with these. I mean, timeliness is a factor with these because they can be put up and online over the course of a summer, which you can't do with baseload coal or nuclear, for example, which might take 15 years to permit. And it's also more critical because there's always this issue of the production tax credit hanging out there and deadlines for that. So
that'll be available.
That'll be available next year. So that's, well, so that's not quite as much an issue this time, but certainly supplies and things like that, which are always going up, are of critical concern to the utilities that build them.
I want to just note one more thing, and that is we've had some questions recently about how whether the wind development that's taking place in the state is going to be supplying wind energy to North Dakota customers. Yes, this particular project is going to be supplying energy to North Dakota customers. Both Minn Kota and Otter Tail have customers in North Dakota who will be receiving part of the energy supply of this project.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. That ends the items in my portfolio. Next, I would like to go to Commissioner Clark.
Thank you. TC1, I move the commission acknowledge its receipt to New Star, acknowledge its response to New Star numbering pooling services that Verizon Wireless ND has activated a block of numbers assigned in the Fargo ND 219, calling prefix case number PU05492.
Second.
Periodically, staff responds to and the commission acknowledges certain events that go on with numbering administration here in the state. NuStar had sought a recommendation on a block of numbers in the Fargo Exchange. We simply advise NuStar that Verizon has activated those blocks of numbers and to accept their application to use that 1,000-number block.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 TC2, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE07188, granting the request of Superior Grains, Inc., Crosby, North Dakota, to discontinue business at Williston, North Dakota, effective June 1st, 2007.
Second.
This was a request received by the division. All grain inventories were transferred to their Crosby facility. There's no outstanding storage obligation. Superior Grain is in the process of selling the facility to United Pulse Trading, Inc. United Pulse Trading, Inc. anticipates licensing the facility by early to mid-June 2007.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And TC3, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE07204, granting the request of City Elevator, Inc. to discontinue business at Williston, North Dakota, effective May 24th, 2007.
Second.
Again, a request received by the licensing division. There is no grain in the facility, and there are no outstanding grain obligations. They have no plans to buy any grain. According to the owner, it is no longer feasible to license the facility.
Oh, that's bad.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 That ends the items in my portfolio.
Okay. I don't have my schedule that tells all of the meetings coming up here. We have a few coming in the next few weeks here apart from, we are not having an informal hearing this afternoon. Other meetings, we'll be meeting on June the 6th with NRRI, that's the National Research Organization for NARUC, for our National Organization of Regulators. June 7th, we have a Lignite Energy Council meeting. And apart from that, we have next week going on here in our state a legal conference, and Bill Binnick is the president. Isn't that right, Bill, or are you not the president?
Yeah.
Yes, he's president of the, give us
the
name
conference.
Of that.
National Conference of Regulatory Attorneys.
National Conference of Regulatory Attorneys, and they are going to be coming to Bismarck for their meeting, their educational conference, and that starts on Sunday evening. And it will conclude
Sunday afternoon,
and it will conclude on Wednesday.
Right.
And you're anticipating about 90 people to be in attendance. Isn't that correct?
Roughly that.
And they have a full agenda, and all three commissioners will be participating in those meetings in some aspect, either on panels with introductions, as part of moderators, et cetera. So we're really looking forward to hosting that, and we hope that maybe we have a nice evening or two so they can get out and see some of North Dakota as well.
I think we will. We've boarded up green grass and
yes,
green
a lot
pastures.
Of green grass and green pastures.
You've done it.
I remember a year ago, Bill was wondering when he found out about this, oh, you know, will everything be really brown at that point? Nope. We made sure that that's not the case here in North Dakota for that regulatory conference.
One other item I would just note is on consent.
Consent.
It's not an announcement, but it's optimism for folks in New Salem The Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity is authorizing MDU to extend electric service to a Verizon wireless cell tower near New Salem. So good news on the horizon for folks who have cell phones in the New Salem area.
Are there any questions?
Was there a certain sense of urgency about approving this in 2 months?
Yes, there was. We knew that the company wanted to start building and constructing the project in June. The job of the commission, however, was to take a very thorough look at this and to make sure that everything was done correctly. So although we knew that the company would like to get started in June, our most important job was to do a good job on this. However, we also took into consideration that if we could move things along, that would be very helpful to the project, and so we took that into consideration as well.
I think one of the things that was really helpful was the fact that we had done one of these before. Fortunately, this wasn't our first one, and we learned from that experience, the Pierce County experience, and I think the company actually gleaned quite a bit from that order as well that helped them move things along quickly as well. But I think one of the issues when you consider a facility of this magnitude, as Tony talked about, obviously they want to be done by the end of this year. They want to be generating power by the end of this year. So clearly it's going to take a little time. So Susan's exactly right. We did the job very thoroughly without any compromise of integrity to the process. But we're fortunate to be able to do it in a timely fashion. As well.
There are still a few permits that the company needs to obtain. That is not unusual as the commission moves forward with siting. Those all need to be turned into the commission in a timely manner before they can start any aspect of the project that involves a permit. In that regard, they have to turn that in and show us that that's available.
You have to remember the time frame that these start on, especially in North Dakota, is pretty important because it's sort of construction by timetable, and certain things have to happen by certain dates. And in North Dakota, if you don't get the ground turned by a certain date, you're going to have a tough time getting it done at the other end because frost sets in. You can have an early winter and all sorts of things that would make it prohibitive to construct it until next year.
So there was really nothing unusual in the conclusions here?
No. Nope, there's nothing unusual in the conclusions.
Also, can I report that the Public Service Commission has ordered grass for these regulators?
No, you probably shouldn't put it that way. Green grass. Mm-hmm.
Green grass. On the admin agenda, you're going to be talking about weights and measures. So, I just wanted to get a quick update. What's going on? What was finally decided about weights and measures?
All right, we are discussing weights and measures on our admin. We have it on three different spots. As you can see under A2, we offered through our staff a voluntary incentive resignation plan, and that was accepted. Then is number three is we are accepting a weights and measures inspector resignation who took advantage of that voluntary incentive resignation plan. And so we will be accepting that at that time. And then there follows a one-week period where it says in our order that they have a chance to take that back if they wish. We give them a time period to make sure that they've thought about this in a very, had time to really thought it through. And so we won't know for a week if that's actually going to take place or not. So we were happy that we could do that in a voluntary way rather than having to go through a RIF proceeding. We put out some. Now, the next thing on here is the work session, a weights and measures proposed rules, reorganization, et cetera. Because we will have one last weights and measures inspector, regardless of whether it's handled through RIFT or through a voluntary resignation, we need to reorganize our weights and measures division. And the commission is going to be looking at options of how to do this. And so that's the purpose of that work session that we're scheduling under C.
Dave, I would just note that the restructuring of the Weights and Measures Division is not something that anyone on the commission supported. We don't like being in this position. We don't think it's good public policy. The FTE cut was frankly just utterly had no value for taxpayers. It saves very little money. It was really fairly senseless, I think, on the part of the legislature to do it. Nonetheless, we have an obligation now to carry it out. I'm pleased that we're able to offer some sort of settlement that will avoid a potentially drawn-out RIF process, which is not fun for anyone, certainly not fun for the employees or morale here at the commission. Glad that that can happen. But the reality is through the reorganization, there will be a loss of service to some North Dakota Weights and Measures customers. We don't know exactly where that will be, but you can't operate the same program that you do when you lose one-fifth of your staff.
And so we'll be we'll be talking about those changes after we make those decisions. And I would say that should be within about a month we'll know what we're going to be doing about those in that reorganization.
So the legislature reduced FTEs from 5 to 4?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did, and specified that it had to be in the Weights and Measures division. So it wasn't that.
Do you have any rationale for that? I'm just curious.
No.
For why it had to be in Weights and Measures?
No rationale on the record. Off the record.
We have to prioritize our expenses each year. And we had said that in order to meet our budget, we would need to take out one Weights and Measures inspector. We included that as a priority to add that back in if there were any extra funds available for the commission. Unfortunately, they looked at that, and they did not ever give us the funds then to put that position back.
Right. Just as a way of background, you recall the governor asked for 100% budget. When we put together a 100% budget, which is a theoretical budget, we said, look, travel costs are exploding in this division. I mean, those are things that we can't control. Gas costs are going way up. That's the big cost driver in that particular division. We said, if we had to operate with exactly the same amount of money that we had last biennium into the next biennium, we'd have to cut staff. You can't have staff sitting around and not being able to travel. So, if we built a 100% budget, that's how it would happen. We didn't think it was a good idea to have that, but that's what we'd have to do. Governor didn't think it was a good idea. Governor added it right back into the executive budget. So this position was always funded through the executive budget request. The legislature, I think, rather, again, senselessly, looked at that and said, oh, well, you're saying you don't need it. Well, we never said we didn't need it. We said if you had to meet 100% budget, this is how we'd have to operate the commission. And so that's what got the ball rolling on this idea of stripping it out. I don't think the Senate was ever very too hot to trot on the idea. This came out of the House, and it was one of those things that in conference committee ended up there, and it was a negotiating point. And unfortunately, it was stripped out. Saves very, very little money. You have to remember each of these inspectors generates revenue because they each generate fees from the testing of the scales. And we're talking about literally $20,000 a year, something like this, in savings to the state. Not a good move fiscally, not a good move from a policy standpoint, because, as I said, there will be a decrease in service somewhere along the line to someone who's currently getting their Weights and Measures checked. But that's a policy choice that was made, and it's our obligation to carry it out.
So the upshot is there will be less service?
Yes.
Somewhere along the line, yes.
We can't possibly. We're going to look, see how we're going to do this, but there will be definitely less service. We have lots of Weights and Measures devices out there to check each year, and so we'll just see what we can do.
Gas pumps are part of that, right?
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. There are private service providers. They exist in some of the larger cities. And we are especially concerned about people in the smaller towns who have Weights and Measures devices that need to be checked. Mm-hmm. They need these same services.
Don't want to prolong this anymore, but what happened to a metrology lab?
It's still in place.
That's the irony, Dave.
The metrology lab was funded by the legislature, and so they have asked us to do a kind of a study again through this year of the functions of the metrology lab, but they did fund the metrology lab for 2 more years at full levels and giving us money for some improvements. So we're going to be able to get different equipment and such for that, but that is ironic, yes.
I mean, Dave, the irony here, here's a government agency.
We have made the recommendation to close the metrology lab and keep the weights and measures program with check scales and such intact. And so the recommendations, our recommendations were not taken into consideration.
For perhaps the first time in the history of government, we came to the legislature asking to close a program, save money, and we're denied that. And instead, that was kind of band-aided and kept going for a few years. So they wouldn't take our request to save money, but instead cut a fully functioning program and make it less fully functioning. It was odd.
It was difficult to understand. All right. Any other questions before we get in any more trouble with the legislature?
This is one time when I'm glad to be on the phone. It's easier to resist.
All right. Okay, thank you. We'll close this portion of the meeting, and next...
Well, Kevin, I'll call him when he gets back in the town.
Yeah, Kevin,